It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only, call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible? Or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And we welcome you into the Virtual Bible Study for Thursday, July 25th, 2013. Thank you for joining us on the program tonight. We're glad that you're here. We look forward to hearing from you. The number to call is toll-free. The line is open, and we're looking forward to hearing from you at 877-381-4567. You can email, as usual, questions@collegeview.com. That is the email address you use to contact us 24/7. We welcome your comments and questions anytime at questions@collegeview.com. We're monitoring that email address during the program tonight. You can contact us there. And if you're listening to us live, the best way to communicate with us and with listeners around the world is by using the chat window to the right of your video window. Lots of ways for you to talk with us tonight, and we look forward to hearing from you. My name is Jacob Gwynn. My father, Greg Gwynn, joins me. Welcome, Dad.
Jacob, great to be with you tonight. Looking forward to an important discussion.
Looking forward to it as well. An interesting discussion, one we have not talked about, although it seems fitting.
All right. Now, hold up. Before you get to that,
okay.
I got a little surprise for you. You know how many programs this makes tonight?
Your math might be off, but you go ahead and tell me.
No, I actually counted today.
Okay, well, it's going to be 8 times 52 minus...
Yeah, no, exactly 8 times 52. 460. This is the 416th program of the Virtual Bible Study tonight.
Oh, is this the...
This is the last program in year 8. Next week, we begin year 9 of the Virtual Bible Study.
But we missed one program. We had technical problems one time in 8 years that we couldn't get on.
That's true, but...
So 415, I like that number better, though.
Yeah, there are 415 programs on our website.
No, 414, this would be 415.
I actually counted 415.
Okay, this is 416.
Yeah, this tonight is 416.
Wow.
So, anyway, that's where we're at. 8 years of the Virtual Bible Study wrapping up tonight. That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
That is.
Think about that, Jacob. If you started listening to one archived program of the Virtual Bible Study every day, it would take you more than a year to finish.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
It would, yeah. If you listened to Monty, Monty's behind the controls. But Monty, you like to listen as you work.
Yeah.
And now 40 hours a week, 416 programs. That would be over 10 weeks of programs if you listened every hour you were at work. Well, two and a half months.
Usually when I listen to them, I play them over and over because I get interrupted in my listening at work. So I might listen to it 7 or 8 times in a day or 5 or 6 or something like that until I finally feel like I've got to listen to and grasp all of it.
Wow, that's amazing. 416 hours.
Yeah, pretty
amazing. Yeah. Well, plus we go over a little bit, so you maybe get up to 420.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway,
the moral of the story is, if you have not been listening since we started, you're never going to catch up. I think we can say that.
If you only listen to
one. And you may not want to catch up, but
I think that is a rather remarkable milestone, 8 years, a full 8 years of the Virtual Bible Study, and now we're starting into the 9th year. Paul Adams in the chat room says, you guys must have started when you were in your teens. Maybe Jacob, Paul.
No, I'm a lot older than that, Paul. The video resolution must not be that good tonight. You can tell.
And we do, by the way, we think we have Ustream working for our friends who are trying to listen via smartphones or other devices on Ustream. We think that feed is working tonight.
And we're not the only ones that are using technology. Did you know that the Pope is using technology?
No, what's he doing?
He is using Twitter to hand out indulgences now.
Oh, you can get an indulgence via Twitter?
Via Twitter from the Pope, yes. And that helps, you know, an indulgence reduces your time in purgatory. Uh-huh. So you get these things off of Twitter, Monty, and whatever purgatory is, I haven't been able to find that in my Bible, but whatever it is, I think that would help you with it.
I thought they quit doing indulgences some time back because somebody purchased his indulgence and
they were selling them.
The priest.
They were selling them, and they got in trouble for selling
them. Now they're whatever you do with them.
Tweeting
them. They're tweeting the indulgences.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, just
there you go.
More weirdness.
There are seven. The Pope has 7.5 million followers on Twitter.
All right, we got an email from the, or we got a chat from the Baumgartners in Jackson, Tennessee, who say they're watching on Ustream. It's working, so you got that fixed, Jacob.
And John in Edmond, Oklahoma, dittos that, and he verifies it is working in Oklahoma as well.
All right.
Then we get a little farther away and see if our signal's holding up.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
All right. So now all of that, just a little bit of a milestone for the virtual Bible study tonight, wrapping up our eighth full year of broadcasting on the internet. We have a topic that I think is of interest tonight, Jacob.
Yes.
And it has to do with this kind of technology, actually, about all the kind of new technologies that are out there. We decided that it'd be a worthwhile discussion to talk about kids and technology. Obviously, there's just an explosion of technology, and it continues. New stuff coming down the pike all the time. It's hard to keep up, especially for some of us who are older. The kids seem to migrate to and comprehend and understand new stuff faster than we do, but there's just an avalanche of new technologies out there.
Yep.
There are pros and cons to them, but there are certainly a lot of dangers, and we want to talk about that in our
program
tonight.
You mentioned that it's harder for the older folks to keep up. I was talking with a guy recently. He said that someone had noted that the older he gets, the more he understands why his parents' VCR clock was always flashing, because you just can't keep up with this stuff. And I'm feeling that way. You can't keep up with all the technology, but the young people are, so maybe that's one of the dangers.
I got to tell you, it's not only can't keep up, it's not don't want to keep up.
Well, that's true.
Jacob and I are we're holdouts against smartphones. We still have dumb phones, and I'm finding less and less motivation to try and keep at the cutting edge of any of that kind of technology. But our kids are certainly intrigued by it, and they keep pushing for more and more of that sort of thing. And in doing so, they are getting exposed to a number of dangerous aspects of these technologies that are connected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if my technology was just something that sat in front of me and didn't interact with other people out in cyberspace, that'd be one thing. I think there's still some dangers involved with that. But when I can have my device here, but I can be literally talking to people all over the world who have both good and bad motives, then there's a lot of dangers.
Right. All right, 877-381-4567, email questions at collegeu.com. You sent out some questions earlier today to frame up our discussion tonight, and we want to hear from you on these, and we'll get to hopefully lots of comments in the chat room.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. Here's the questions we ask, and we do have a pretty good crowd assembling in the chat room. We desperately want your input to these things. We have some opinions to express, some scriptures to share, but we want to hear what you have to say. Here's our questions we sent out to our update list, and we always remind you, get on that list if you're not. Send us an email to questions@collegeview.com. Put me on the list is all you have to say. We will. And on Thursdays, we'll send out our topic, give you these leading questions that we want to discuss. We ask this question. Number one, list in order of significance the technologies that our kids are exposed to on a regular basis.
Okay.
Let's just talk about what they all are, because sometimes I think we
don't understand.
We don't even stop to consider how many.
They're so commonplace, maybe.
Yeah, and I think we're not even accounting for some of them.
Okay.
Not even keeping track of them all.
Okay.
Number two, what are some of the positive things that our kids can gain from these new technologies? So what are the pros?
Okay.
Number three, what are the dangers that exist when our kids access the various technologies out there?
Yes.
So what are the cons, pros and cons?
Mm-hmm.
And then four, what steps should parents take to regulate their kids' exposure to the dangers of these technologies? Break these down, I ask, in rules for various ages of children. In other words, obviously, what you would do for maybe a 3-year-old kid would be different than what you do for an 18-year-old teenager.
Yes.
So we want to talk along those lines.
All right. Not a lot of scripture there, but hopefully we can work some in as we talk about this. But, I mean, the underlying premise is here that we've got to protect our children, and it is our responsibility to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and protect them from certain evils. And so if you could work in some scriptures as we talk about this, we would like that as well. 877-381-4567, questions@collegeview.com.
All right. To our first question, our friend Chris in Atlanta sent in an email, list some of the technologies. I actually wanted to know which ones do you think are most prevalent that they're connecting with the most often. He said smartphone, PCs, and tablets and iPads. So he thinks those
are the main... order of significance. That's the most significant.
Yeah, and then using... here's the way he says they are being used, I guess. Texting, social media like Facebook and Twitter, YouTube, the internet in general, video games, and email.
All right.
All right. So, you know what I thought was interesting in Chris's listing there? He didn't mention the TV.
Well, that's interesting.
You know, and it may be in his house, because I know there are houses where people don't have TVs, but I think in a lot of houses, we have forgotten that the old TV is probably the most pervasive thing in our house.
It may not be in some houses. We're not up with the times, but I think a lot of people are even watching whatever they watch on their little handheld devices. Monty, I know you're not doing that, but I think some people are.
Well, when you go anywhere you go today, you see somebody and they've got their handheld device out, their smartphone or whatever, and they're doing their thing with it and watching stuff on it, and they, you know, you're talking to people and they've looking up stuff, and I mean, all over the place. Those things are everywhere. And I think those probably are the most pervasive right now.
Dad, you've had a scathing sermon about television since maybe 1983 or 1984. You're going to have to update that thing.
And
it's going to have to be streaming media instead of TV.
Yeah, an old sermon that I have preached it dozens of times in different places. I was assigned the topic in a gospel meeting, and it probably has been 30 years ago.
Yeah, I think it is.
The influence of TV on Christians.
Yeah.
I think TV still influences Christians, but I think there are a lot of other influences out there as well. But TV, let's not forget that TV is still a powerful influence.
Okay.
And there's a lot of bad stuff on TV.
All right. We got to put television in that list as well. Chris in the UK, he has a son who is autistic, and he says that he uses maybe some of this technology more than others. He says children in general are exposed to technologies as TV, DVD players, various music players, mobile / smartphones, computers and tablet devices, game consoles, and electronic toys, which would include InnoTabs, children's education device tablet, and speaking / interactive books. Then there are e-book readers, and if you would include them, and so on, it goes on. He talks about some of the stuff that... his son uses as well, but lots of technology that Chris mentions in his email. Thank you, Chris.
All right. I did a little research on this topic tonight, did today for tonight's program, and it is surprising when you stop to think about it. If you really studied it, how much connectivity there is for kids of all ages, baby Einstein tapes for infants, Reader Rabbit software for two-year-olds, Nintendo consoles given as early as fifth birthdays. Here's some stats.
Now, where do they get the consoles?
As early as their fifth birthday, they get a Nintendo console.
Yikes.
Here's something from the Knowledge Network. It says 2/3 of children have a television in their room. 17% have their own computer. 35% have a video game system. According to the Kaiser Family Survey, 31% of children aged 3 and under are already using computers, 16% use them several times a week, 21% can point and click with a mouse by themselves, and 11% can turn on the computer without assistance.
At what time? What age?
Under 3.
Wow.
What's more, 1/3 of children, many as young as 11 years old, use blogs and social networking sites at least 2 or 3 times a week. Yet 2/3 of their parents don't even know what a blog is, according to a report by the NCH Children Charities and Tesco Telecom.
All right.
So all of that's, I think, pretty frightening.
Paul in the chat room says, I thought I was keeping up by monitoring Facebook and Twitter. Now there's Snapchat. You know what Snapchat is?
I hadn't even heard of it.
I don't know what Snapchat is.
It's the first I ever heard of it.
And there are lots of others. Texting is huge. Many kids send and receive tens of thousands per month. That is true.
You know, I have heard that. I've heard of parents who got astronomical bills. I think a lot of these cell phone plans have now gone to unlimited texting, because back when they were, you know, when you had maybe 250 a month text that you could send, which seemed like an inordinately high number. I mean, That's like, you know, almost 10 a day.
Yeah.
But they were getting bills because their kids were sending thousands of texts a day.
Yeah. Tim says that he is co-teaching the teens junior high class in Garland, Texas, at the Campbell Road congregation. He says, I would say a quarter to half of my students use their smartphone or handheld device for reading the Bible during class.
Yeah, and I wonder what you think of that. Are you all in favor of that? They're doing that here too. And not just the kids, but the adults too are using their digital devices instead of a hard printed Bible.
Monty and I are still using these digital devices to get where we're supposed to go.
I'm old fashioned. I'm not terribly keen on it. I don't have anything against it, but it is very common.
Okay, it troubles me when I see children with those. Paul says, with services like Netflix, many of the TV shows and popular movies can be viewed on phones, tablets, computer. Tim says, I am also one of the men who work the audiovisual booth. We stream live to several elderly, and we have members who are in the military overseas that use it as well. So
which is a good
things.
Thing. That's yes. a good thing, right?
Paul says, in our teen class, the teachers have asked for this quarter that the kids use paper Bibles, becoming a lost skill. They need to know how to use technology and old school methods.
Okay.
All right. TMC in the chat room says Snapchat is when they take pictures in the place of words and have a conversation. Very risky.
Okay, so Snapchat may be one of those ones that is particularly dangerous for our kids to know about and to use.
We're learning on the program tonight.
All right, let's take a break, Jacob. When we get back...
Now, we talked about the technology.
We see that there's a lot of different technology out there. We haven't even touched the hem of the garment, I'm sure, as to the different ways that kids can be connected through these various devices that we've just briefly mentioned. And so they're connected. They're out there. They're doing it. They're connecting with people on a regular basis. So let's talk about some of the positives and some of the negatives that are associated with that.
Let us know your thoughts. We'll take a break and get your thoughts on the other side. Don't go anywhere. The virtual Bible study continues right after this.
Have you checked out all of the resources on collegeview.com lately? Check it out now while you listen to these important messages. The virtual Bible study will be right back after this.
I'm Joel Gwynn, a member of the College View Church of Christ, with something for you to think about regarding our children. A survey published in the periodical Pulpit Helps analyzed the question of faithfulness among the children of churchgoers. The results are interesting. It was found that faithfulness in kids was not a function of the size of the congregation, the number of classes and special programs sponsored by the church, the effectiveness of the youth minister. Instead, here is what was discovered. In cases where both parents were faithful and active, 93% of their children remained faithful to their religious training. When only one parent was faithful and active, the percentage dropped to 73%. When parents were only reasonably active, attending services, but that's all, their kids remained faithful only 53% of the time. And finally, when the parents attended assemblies only infrequently, the children's endured at a mere 6% level. The results of this survey are interesting, but not terribly surprising. We've known all along that people, including children, often learn more from example than from the words they hear. That's why Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Matthew 5:16. Parents, have you considered applying Jesus' concept right there in your own home? Are you letting your light shine before your kids? Survey results, our own common sense, and the Bible tells us that this is the only hope that we have to bring them up fearing God.
We're tracking the trends on the virtual Bible study. How important is the abortion issue to Americans? 53% of the public says abortion is, quote, not that important compared with other issues, while 45% says abortion is either, quote, one among many important issues, that's 27%, or, quote, a critical issue facing the country, 18%. However, there are stark differences between those who attend religious services at least once a week and those who attend less often. About two-thirds, 64% of weekly churchgoers say abortion is a critical or important issue, while about two-thirds, 65% of those who attend less often say abortion is not that important of an issue. All of that information is via the Pew Research Center. The Word of God says in Jeremiah 6, verse 15, "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush."
We're waiting to hear from you. Call in right now and join in on the virtual Bible study. Now, back to the program.
And we are waiting to hear from you. Look forward to your thoughts in the chat room tonight. The chat room is quite a buzz, and we're looking forward to taking your comments there. As we talk about technology and some of the dangers of it, we talked about the technology before the break, and want to get into some of the positive things now.
Yeah. Before we do, in the chat room, Timothy says he's co-teaching the teens. He says, I'm having issues making applications, developing activities. I get into a rut of lecturing. How can you help? But save that comment for when we talk about some of the negatives, because I think some of the negatives of all this, visual stimulation by way of electronic devices is making standard teaching practice boring to kids.
Right.
We'll talk about that. So,
okay.
Paul says, I think a positive. So let's talk about some positives. Paul says, I think a positive, for instance, of electronic Bibles is the constant availability, easy search. Many of these incorporate study tools, commentaries, lexicons, dictionaries, concordances, and so forth. Tim says you can download different Bible translations for free and carry many different translations with you all at once. Those are pros. Those are positives, you know. And I could see that that'd be helpful if you're sitting in a classroom situation or whatever. So there's an upside.
Yes.
Can I get on a soapbox right there, though?
Let's get on the soapbox.
Here's the negative. Here's the direct opposite side of that coin.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen too often. Here's a guy. He's got his electronic device, and he's connected.
Okay.
And so the teacher is teaching the class. Something is said. He stops listening, and he starts tracking a thread on the Internet concerning something that was said. He finds something. In other words, he hasn't prepared ahead of time for Bible class.
Right.
He's doing this looking on the Internet while the class is underway. And after maybe a few minutes of searching, he finds something that he thinks is significant. He wants to make a comment in class. We're already past that. We've been past that for 5 or 10 minutes. He wants to go back now and revisit that because he just found something that he thinks is interesting on the Internet.
Yeah.
That's disruptive to the class and unhelpful.
I agree with that.
And
I
so
with
I, that. I
mean,
that,
if you're going to have the comment, if you want to make the comment, be prepared to make it when you come to class. Now, some things do jog your thoughts during the class. That's the purpose of the class. But I think you need to keep it to a minimum and regulate.
And you have to realize that, you know, there's the teachers in charge of the class trying to make a logical, progressive methodology in the class. And you're short-circuiting that if you're not staying current with the discussion because you're busy looking at your handheld device.
All right. I guess another warning would be you're not a Greek scholar just because you have a smart phone that has a Greek lexicon in it.
That's the truth. Just because you can read a lexicon doesn't make you a Greek scholar.
Okay. All right.
All right.
You're off your soapbox.
Okay.
We're on to the next.
We're talking about some pros. What are some pros of not only our kids but us being able to connect with all these technological devices?
Chris in Atlanta says almost every public and private sector job requires proficiency in PC usage. Most major businesses have a huge online presence with a web page, and most all have a social networking presence such as Facebook and Twitter, which I do not get, by the way. Our kids today need to have this experience and skills if they hope to gain employment. The Internet also provides a vast amount of opportunity for learning. This applies to most any area you want more knowledge in. I have learned how to replace brakes on my car, American history facts, and currently learning Cisco router administration. Feel sorry for you, Chris. Of course, you need to use discretion and not believe it just because someone put it out on the Internet. My favorite quote from the Internet is, you cannot believe anything or believe everything you read on the Internet. From Abraham Lincoln.
Credited Abraham Lincoln.
Okay. All right.
Chris in the UK says, concerning positive things our kids can gain, some no doubt have an educational use. And nobody could dispute that. Yeah. I agree, Chris. I mean, we got to be fair. Obviously, there's some education.
We can't just be totally old fogies here.
There's educational benefit to the Internet. We understand that. He says, some allow a lot of things to be held in a small space, like Kindle holding a Bible, Greek, Hebrew study tools, commentaries, other technological works in the space of a philo fax. I don't know what that is.
That's a British thing.
Yeah, they can remotely feel safe knowing they can contact parents or raise alarms as necessary, as well as make us healthier, or unquote, more sociable. I wonder about that. He says, I am arguing that it is not necessarily so. I agree. We're going to talk about that. I think that all of this social connectivity on the Internet is making people less sociable.
Yeah, I agree with that.
We'll talk about that in a minute. He says, more improved hand-eye coordination, other motor skills. Maybe, but there's some indication that is not a true positive. Right. We'll see in a minute.
Thank you, Chris.
He has a son who is autistic. He says, as for my son, it helps him get himself, who has no language skills, on a more understood, he can be understood better. It allows his needs to be known. allows him to keep himself safe, to warn him if something harmful may happen if he continues, and so forth. So Chris has a special needs child, and some of that technology is helpful to him. Those are all pros. That's why we ourselves have computers. That's why we do the virtual Bible study, for instance, have been for 8 years. Because there's a positive side to these things. There are pros. There are benefits to this technology.
And there are certainly many great Bible study tools. When was the last time you used a hardbound concordance?
I can't remember the last time.
But you used to prepare your sermons with one of those in your lap and a Greek lexicon over here and two or three versions.
And now it's all on the screen.
So, and think of the time you're saving.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
And I mean, you're able to look up more things because you're not flipping pages around. And so certainly there's some benefits. Yeah. We can't argue with that.
That's right.
Well, you know, when we went camping at Mousetail. Anyhow,
look it up on your smartphone. See where you were.
We were at Davy Crockett State Park in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, and we did the virtual Bible study.
Well, what I was thinking of when we went camping at Mousetail, there was a small congregation in Canyon that Joel and I had an opportunity to preach at, and I didn't find out till Saturday night that I was going to be preaching on Sunday afternoon. And so when I got back from worship on Sunday morning, I was able to take my computer that I'd brought with me and get my Bible software up and pull up enough information that I could work up a sermon for that afternoon on the fly, more or less.
Some things make me uneasy about that, Monty. But
I got to tell you, times, they are changing. If Monty's got a computer with him in the woods.
I'm feeling a little queasy now, Monty, but thank you. All right.
Some other things I had noted in some things I accessed today. Technology has been linked to improved reading skills for children. Also, certainly convenience, knowledge, entertainment are helped by way of the internet. But there are some downsides, some negatives, and Jacob, I don't think we have to sit here and sell the pros
of
technology
sell,
because people are really wanting it, they're getting it, they're using it. We're dinosaurs, really. We don't know all the different things that are available out there. But young people do. A lot of people do. A lot of people keep up on the cutting edge of such things. We don't have to convince the general public that the internet and handheld devices and all the connectivity that's available have benefits.
Just having people get bulletins sent to their inbox in their email. I mean, that's something that is certainly a benefit.
By the way, if you're on our mailing list, you get our bulletin each week.
You plug your technology there.
There you go.
Sermons, you can go out and you can listen to basically any subject you want. You can find a sermon about it somewhere on somebody's website. That's pro and con, I guess, because you can hear a lot of false teaching as well. But certainly there's a lot of that as well, so there's certainly lots of benefits.
All right, I think so too. Let's take our halfway break, Jacob. When we get back, then let's look at the other side of that coin. Let's talk about the negatives of things technology-wise.
All right, we'll talk about the negatives, and that may take us for a while, so you want to get your thoughts in line there. 877-381-4567, this week's Bullet Point. We're back right after this.
Now you can listen to a podcast of a recent sermon every week. Find out more at collegeview.com. There's more of the virtual Bible study right after these important messages.
This is Greg Gwynn with this week's Bullet Point. We often feed the birds in our backyard during the winter. It's quite interesting to watch the different birds come to the feeder throughout the day. Birds are like people in a way. Some are short and plump. Others are long and lean. Some species come in groups. They say birds of a feather, you know. But others have more solitary ways. And they have a tendency to fight one another, just like people do. As any bird watcher knows, the big thrill is to see a new kind of bird. Oh yes, the finches are nice and the chickadees are so cute. We like the tufted titmouse and we've seen pine siskins, but we're prone to take all of these for granted. Oh, it's just another blue jay, we'll say. But wait a minute, just another blue jay? Take a look at that beautiful creature. Few birds in all of God's creation can match the beauty of the blue jay. We've seen exotic birds in the pet store, the kind that people pay big bucks for, that can't hold a candle to the blue jay. Yet we take him for granted because he's always near. We see him every day. It's just another blue jay. We were thinking that we tend to take things for granted in the church, too. Things that are always near. Things that we see all the time. That's just Brother X. He's here at all the assemblies. That's our elders having a meeting with a member who needs extra help and encouragement. But they always do that. Oh, that's just Sister So-and-so carrying food to a family that's been sick. But she does that sort of thing all the time. But wait a minute. These are wonderful things, and we ought never to take them for granted. Thank God for our blessings in the body of Christ. That's this week's bullet point. Think about it.
Hello, I'm Nick Law from Jennings, Florida. I love to listen to the virtual Bible study and hear God's Word taught every Thursday night.
Quit checking your email. The commercials are over and the virtual Bible study is ready to roll. Take it away, guys.
We're back on the program tonight, and we want to remind you this program is brought to you by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. Find out more about us by visiting our website, thevirtualbiblestudy.com, where you can find 8 years of the virtual Bible study there, over 400 hours on many topics. You can search and find many topics there you may have interest in. You can also find out more about our meeting times and location, as well as podcast recent sermons that have been presented at the College View Church of Christ. Visit our website, thevirtualbiblestudy.com. We're talking about technology specifically.
You know, and technology-wise, we do not have the most advanced website in the world, but it's still reasonably functional. We don't even have a search engine on that website, but if you do, go to the archive page and you just hit Control F. Is that what it is?
Yes, it is.
I forgot. Control F. Just a line will pop up in the header. Type in the word you're looking for. For instance, if you're looking for homosexuality,
right,
then it'll show you every program that dealt with that,
right.
And you can do your own search that way. So it has, I think, become a reasonably good resource for people if you're studying a subject and you want to hear something on those topics.
All right. And we want to hear from you tonight as we talk about technology. We want to talk about it in relation to our kids as well. Kids and technology, what are the dangers that exist when our kids access various technologies? Let us know your thoughts.
In the chat room, Jacob, I see some of them are recommending the various softwares that they use. Olive Tree on the iPhone, eSword on their PCs.
Mantis. I don't know what Mantis is.
Yeah, I don't know Mantis either. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there, an amazing amount of stuff out there, and some of it's very good and helpful.
Tim recommends Bible.ca. That's a one that's been around for a long time and good material there. Executableoutlines.com.
Yeah, okay. So a lot of good stuff out there. I've been on Executable Outlines and Bible.ca, and there's a lot of resources there on both of those.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff, obviously.
Okay.
All right, so a lot of positives, and we all like the positives, but we got to be realistic about the negatives, Jake.
Okay.
And there are just a lot of negatives out there.
Yes. And this is especially how it relates to our kids, so we want to hear your thoughts on that. What are some negatives you hear about kids? Paul says that the smartphones can be a distraction during worship services. We would agree with that.
Yeah, you've got to turn your phone off or put it on vibrate at least during the worship services. Please. You know, a lot of churches, and I get a little weary of this even, a lot of churches, when at the start of their worship assembly, they'll have a sign up on the screen or they'll actually announce, please silence your cell phones and devices. Because how many times have we heard cell phones go off in worship?
People used to leave those things in their, this is an old one, a pager. They used to leave that out in the car.
Yeah.
You know, but now you've got to have that. You can't be without it.
Can't even be without it in the worship.
No.
So I think you're right, Paul. That is a big distraction.
All right. What about kids? What are some dangers with our kids and technology?
Oh, boy, just from a, not even from a spiritual standpoint, Jacob, the use of too much technology has been associated with vision impairment.
Wow.
Brains get too used to such auditory and visual stimulation. In the absence of these stimulations, they do not know what to do with themselves. They get anxious, restless, bored, aggressive. There is such a thing as technology addiction. One says incessant exposure to all-day TV, violent video games, instant messaging, and the always accessible cell phone interferes with the development of the psychological traits known to be essential to positive outcomes for children, according to one psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
Children need to be taught self-control, but such innate abilities are unlearned by experiences that reduce a youngster's capacity to exercise self-control. Constant media exposure is an experience that will reduce self-control in children because the media is all about immediacy.
Oh, yeah, right.
So a lot of negatives there.
Yeah, okay.
Just, I mean, and that's not written from a religious or spiritual standpoint either.
Okay. Shall we get to Chris's in Atlanta?
Go.
He says, where do I begin? With every one good thing about technology, there are probably two pitfalls. Here's a brief list of dangers. Temptations to sin with ease of access to pornography and the false sense of anonymity the internet provides. Cyber stalking. If our kids provide too much info online, it is easy for a stalker to track them down with just a hometown, high school attending, and a picture. Almost anyone worldwide can find them. Very troubling and scary. Bullying. Number four, losing the ability to interact face-to-face. It amazes me to watch kids sit next to each other, and they both have their faces buried in a phone. Access to violence and foul language, especially with video games. Thank you, Chris.
All right. I agree with that. I think we were talking about this the other day, Jacob. I was in a restaurant. It's been a while back. There was a family. It appeared to be a family of four, mother, father, two kids. At the table they were sitting at, I observed them out of the corner of my eye, and then it caught my attention. I began to watch. All four of them had an electronic device that they were using. They weren't interacting with one another at all. Mm-hmm. They were all in their own little world with their connected internet devices. And that's becoming commonplace.
Yeah. Well, let's take it, Monty, about the time factor. Let's take it out. Let's take it away. Let's say it's not the technology. Let's say it's something more old school. Let's say it's golf or fishing.
And I play golf 7 hours every day.
7 hours a day.
I got a little stat on that. The 2010 Kaiser Foundation study showed that the elementary age children use an average of 7.5 hours per day of entertainment technology.
7.5 hours a day.
75% of those kids have a TV in their own bedroom. 50% of North American homes have TV on all day.
All day.
Listen, 50% of North American homes have the TV on all day.
50%, one out of every two.
Children now relying on technology for the majority of their play, grossly limiting challenges to their creativity and imaginations, as well as limiting necessary challenges to their bodies to achieve optimal sensory and motor development.
All right. Now, this is not just a public service message. What do you think about the spiritual implications of that? Monty, if you were fishing 7.5 hours a day.
Every day.
Every day. And your wife had to bring your sandwich for her lunch and dinner to this fishing hole so you could keep fishing or fishing while you eat. Would we have a problem with that? And we'd say, you know, God says.
We'd say, Monty is addicted to fishing.
Yeah.
That's crazy, Monty. You got to give up that fishing. You can't be spending that much time every day fishing.
I don't know who has 7.5 hours a day to spare to do things like that.
That's amazing.
I mean, as an adult, I have to work. I got to get back and forth to work. There's certain things has to be accomplished when I get home. I don't have 7.5 hours to do nothing.
Yeah, but really, I mean, we're sort of being lighthearted about that. But seriously, if somebody would, if you take a normal activity like golf or fishing, even if you were out gardening, Jacob,
right.
But you've become incessant about it. You're out there almost 8 hours every day tending your garden.
Right.
We'd say, Jacob, get a life, man. You have got to do
God
something.
God has something else intended for us rather than this.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
All right. So clear dangers there.
Well, I think there's more dangers.
Chris in UK says cyberbullying. You know, and I know that that's
I'm
a reaction.
I'm out of touch. I don't see that as a huge problem.
You know what I'd say?
Yeah.
They can't bully me. I'll just disconnect.
Right.
Why do I have to stay connected and let somebody bully me?
Oh, they're saying bad things to me. Oh, I got to stay here and watch this.
I've got a relative that I'm caring for, and she has dementia real bad. And when I go to visit her, I don't know if I'm going to have a pleasant visit or if she's going to cuss me out. I mean, it's like Friday she called me and we was having a conversation. We started being ugly. I said goodbye and hung up. So I don't understand cyberbullying because I can turn it off.
Maybe it's part of this addiction.
They're so addicted to it, they can't disconnect. And so they have to sit there and take the bullying in cyberspace.
Okay, well.
Chris goes on to say, exposure to things they shouldn't see or hear or read. That's a real problem. We need to talk a little bit more about it.
Right.
Their time could be well wasted and used unproductively. Their language could get lazy. Text speech becomes normal parlance. That's you abbreviate things in
you
text.
Yeah.
People forget how to spell.
It took me forever to figure that one out.
They learn backdoor ways of swearing or showing disrespect that you will have no way of being aware of.
That's a danger. You don't understand the language.
Yeah, adults often don't understand what the kids are saying in those. Yeah. The normalization of fringe ideas, the acceptance of patently immoral things, say like abortion, homosexuality, atheism, or New Age ideologies, to name a few. They may be exercising contraception without parental consent, let alone the morning after pill. The specter of being groomed by unsavory people or duped out of money by others. So he's got some real interesting insights there, and I think he's right.
All right. Thank you for those, Chris and Chris.
Some other things I was reading today, some dangers of letting your kids use technology. One of the dangers was certainly seeing something inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, that's not a maybe. That's right. A will happen.
Right.
Don't you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, how many of us adults have been completely innocent in a matter and suddenly something popped up on the screen that you didn't want to see?
Right.
And so hopefully we're spiritually mature enough we can turn immediately away from that.
Right.
Kids are not spiritually mature, and they're going to get drawn in by that sort of
stuff.
Absolutely.
Very dangerous. Terrible.
Yeah.
Monty?
Something that amazes me while we're talking about that is people that have put pictures of themselves with a great deal of their body exposed on Facebook. Pictures that they wouldn't want you, if you walked up and seen them in a room somewhere with that much of their self exposed, they'd be embarrassed, but they'll put that out on the for the whole world to see on the over the internet, and it's always amazing to me. And when you say something to them about it, they acted offended, like you shouldn't have been looking at that. Well, I shouldn't. I didn't ask to see it, and I didn't want to see it, but they shouldn't have put it out there to begin with.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right.
You know, there's so much exposure to this. In the old days, you would have been careful about any kind of television show that might have shown some of the things like that, or maybe go to the movies where there might be a danger where some of that stuff would be shown, and you're almost certain that it is going to be shown on the internet and letting our kids poke around on there without any
guidance, without any protection. Yeah. It's like letting a lion roam around in your house, a hungry lion, and you're oblivious
hope that he won't
eat my kid.
Yeah.
I just hope he won't eat my kid.
And the stakes are literally that high. On the spiritual plane, it is that high. It's that lion, and he could destroy your kids spiritually, and you're just going to let him walk around and not do anything about it.
Yeah, we're missing some things in the chat room. Some good comments, I think, going on in there.
Anthony says we shouldn't allow technology in our house until we understand it enough to put restrictions and filters in place.
Very good. Very good, Anthony. Okay. Where's he say? I didn't see that.
It's down towards the bottom.
Okay. I see that. I think that's exactly right. We've got to talk about some safeguards. We're going to talk about that in our last section. What precautions can we put in place?
All right.
We said some of the dangers, certainly accidentally seeing something inappropriate. Our social skills are damaged. The more our children immerse themselves in the cyber world, the less their social skills are being developed. I think that's a real problem. You know, kids used to like to sit around and hear the adults speak and learn how to, and they would learn things from them, and they would learn to interact with them. And now they
look up to them for their spiritual guidance, and that was their role model. And now their role model is something they see on Facebook.
Yeah. Another thing: no patience. Expecting the entire world to provide instant gratification. In the digital world, there's no wait time. You type it in and beep, it's there. In the real world, people need time to make things happen. So technology makes our kids less patient. Certainly there is the danger of interacting with unsavory characters, giving out private information. There is an addictive nature to it. It's well documented, and nobody could deny it.
All right. Let us know your thoughts. We'll take a break, and we'll go to the top of the hour on how do we handle these dangers. Clearly, they're out there. clearly we need to make sure that we're handling them appropriate. 877-381-4567. Don't go anywhere. We're back right after this.
Are you listening? There's going to be a test on this stuff. Stay tuned. The virtual Bible study will be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Jerry Fralix. I'm a member of College View Church of Christ here in Columbia, Tennessee, and I have a few words to say. Occasionally, we hear parents who say that they don't want to force religion on their children. These misguided folks think they're doing their kids a favor by letting them decide for themselves. They're afraid that there will be some resentment in their children later if religion had been crammed down their throats. If we may be absolutely blunt in response, that is one of the most ridiculous ideas that anyone ever suggested. We force many things on our children. We insist that they bathe, brush their teeth, change their clothes, etc. We cram education down their throats by making them attend school regularly. We demand that they do their homework. We force them to eat good food, get adequate rest, and do other things that are important to their health and development. We do all of this because we know it is in their best interest, and we do it even when the kids don't like it. Why is it this such a common sense approach is neglected by parents who are determined to let the kids decide for themselves when it comes to religion? Dr. James Dobson writes, "There's a critical period when certain kinds of instruction are easier in the life of children. There's a brief period during childhood when youngsters are vulnerable to religious training. Their concepts of right and wrong are formulated during this time, and their views of God begin to solidify. The opportunity of that period must be seized when it is available. The absence or misapplication of instruction through that prime time period may place a severe limitation on the depths of the child's later devotion to God. When parents withhold indoctrination from their small children, allowing them to decide for themselves, the adults are almost guaranteeing that the youngsters will decide in the negative. God's word has always taught us the truth on the subject. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Proverbs 22:6.
Here are some quotes worth pondering. Never stop doing your best just because someone doesn't give you credit for it. It doesn't take strength to hold a grudge. It takes strength to let go of one. People who say it cannot be done should not interrupt those who are doing it. Though no one can go back and make a brand new start, anyone can start now and make a brand new ending. It's hard to beat a person who never gives up. A second chance doesn't mean anything if you haven't learned from your first mistake. Man, wish I'd said that.
We're waiting to hear from you. Call in right now and join in on the virtual Bible study. Now, back to the program.
We're back on the program tonight. We welcome you back as we talk about kids and technology, some of the dangers, some of the ways we prevent these. Some scriptures come to mind as we talk about this. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Going to take some effort here. Yeah. And kids aren't to that point where they can put forth that effort, so parents are going to have to do that for
them. Yeah, that's the whole idea of parenting, is that you provide strength and supervision and protection for your kids until they're old enough to protect themselves.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." We got to make sure that our children understand that, and we help them have that pure heart. And then one of the things comes to mind is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 tells us we need to be redeeming the time.
Yeah.
If I had an iPod and I listened to nursery rhymes 7.5 hours a day on the iPod, perfectly pure, nothing wrong, there are other things I need to be thinking about rather than having myself immersed in entertainment all of the free waking hours of the day. I've got other things I need to be thinking about, things on the spiritual plane, and that's one of the big dangers I see with technology, even if it's pure and clean.
Exactly right. I think you're exactly right. We've been talking about the pros and cons, and here in just a minute as we wrap up our program tonight, we want to talk about some things people can do to safeguard. Our last question was, what steps should parents take to regulate their kids' exposure to the dangers of new technologies? And we'll talk about that in a minute. I just wanted to share with you an article I found today, Jacob, by John Rosemond. He's an author of 14 parenting books. He's a nationally syndicated newspaper columnist. I've been reading his column for years, not often, but from time to time.
Okay. He writes about parenting issues?
Yes.
Okay.
He says, "I often hear real-life parenting stories that evoke two equally strong feelings, on the one hand sorrow, on the other hand gratefulness. I'm saddened to hear these stories, always told to me by the loving parents who have conscientiously tried to do the best they could, but they cause me to be glad beyond measure that I'm not raising children today. I got out of the game just in time, it seems." My wife and I didn't have to deal with hundreds of cable channels, video games, cell phones, or the internet with its various temptations, including social media, pornography, and a five-year-old can access, chat rooms, online gaming, and shopping carts. when my kids were growing up, we had a television sometimes, period. He goes on, one such heartbreaking story was told to me recently. I just stop here and say, I would have to agree with him. I think parents today are facing challenges unknown in the history of the world. And if they're not perceptive to it, they're not eyes wide open, they're going to be in trouble. Because the devil's got a whole array of new tools to use.
We have been immersed with media, and the devil is very apt and very skillful at using that media. And it is all around us. It's not just one avenue anymore. It's 100 different avenues to get to us.
Yeah.
He's stayed up on technology whether we have or not.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right. Rosamond goes on to say, one such heartbreaking story was told to me recently. It's been told to me hundreds of times, actually, and every time my heart is broken. It begins with good, decent, responsible parents discovering that their young adolescent boy has access to pornography of the worst sort on the internet. They confront him. His father talks to him about how pornography disrespects women. The parents make sure he can no longer access the internet at home without supervision. The boy figures out how to get around the blocks, how to disarm the tracking software. The parents find him sitting at the computer mesmerized at 3 o'clock in the morning. Then his best friend's parents call to complain that he has introduced their son to internet pornography. The word gets around. No one will let their children associate with the boy. And the parents figure out that they've become untouchable as well. And the boy just keeps right on figuring out how to beat the system. As the parents tell the story, they're both fighting back tears. So am I. What should we do? They ask. I tell them it sounds to me that they've done what they can, but it's not working, they say, in despair. I ask, can you accept that you're not going to be able to completely solve this problem? Can you accept that the river's going to find a way around your sandbags, but that you should keep putting out sandbags anyway? I tell them, do your best, but don't expect much in return. Pray for your son. Now, what he's saying there at the last, I think, is something that should petrify every parent of a young person today. You let them get exposed to this stuff, and you have started an irreversible course of action.
Right.
If you're not doing your due diligence to guard your children, you're going to let them be exposed to something that will permanently and forever change them.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be over dramatic, but that's just how serious it is. You have got, parents, you have got to be careful.
And there is no benefit that we get from technology that is worth this risk.
That's exactly right.
That you will. There is nothing that we get from technology that's worth our kids losing their soul over.
Exactly.
And we've got to understand that. We've got to get this in perspective, and we've got to get our hands around this. It is not worth the risk. We've got to make sure that we're doing everything we can to prevent this from happening. Lonnie?
You know, if people think we're weird because we don't have internet, or maybe because we don't have television or any some of these other technologies, smartphones or whatever, fine, let them think we're weird, because I don't really care what they think for the most part anyway.
Well,
but I'd rather be weird and have children and myself go to heaven than to be normal
absolutely.
In hell.
And some have said here you've got to be able to use technology to get a job. That may be true, but I don't know of any job where you have to be able to use Facebook, and you have to be able to use YouTube, and you have to be able to use all the other things that go along with the computer in order to have the job. And we've got to make sure that we're not overstating our case.
Yeah. And Kent, and I think it's Kent in Jackson, or his wife Mindy, I don't know who's writing this. He says, we've got to teach them to deal with temptation, because there will be a day when we parents will not be there to put the restrictions on the devices in our house. They have to know how to deal with it.
I hear that a lot from parents. I'm not arguing with that 100%, but I think that some parents, I'm not saying that Mindy or Kent here are making, I know there are parents who use that as a cop out. Well, you've got to let them watch the bad movies, because there's going to be a day.
They're going to see it anyway.
Right. And I talk to parents who are letting their kids just do whatever they want. And they say, well, you can't keep them from it. You can't. Yes, you can. And that's your job.
Yeah, because, I think, and this
and
goes
not some... what, that's not what, I know Kent and Mindy aren't doing that. But I'm talking to parents who are doing that. They're letting their kids run wild.
See it all.
Because you just can't keep it from them. There's going to be a day when you're not around. Hogwash.
Yeah, I think
while
it is.
While I am around, I can do something about
it.
That's right. And obviously, we're trying to teach our kids a set of spiritual values and help them mature spiritually till they'll reach a plane where they can regulate themselves. But a young child is not spiritually mature and not able to regulate themselves.
Just like we don't put candy around our young kids because they can't handle that. When they get older, maybe they can.
We don't let a 5-year-old drive a car.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of things he's got to learn before he can start driving a car. Okay. And even when he's 16, we're going to move it along slowly. Yeah.
Guest 893, we use AVG as an internet filtering device that we can place on our kids' iPods as well. The kids don't like it, but they don't really understand all the full effects of what will happen if they accidentally view something inappropriate. They hate it because it occasionally blocks websites and they don't understand why. Paul says by teaching them to police themselves, but in terms of content and time management, will prepare them for adulthood. While I was away from full-time preaching for a time, I worked in technology. In the large company I worked for, we had a problem with employees and managers abusing the internet access, wasting time, and viewing pornography. People had been warned, did not correct the problem, were fired. Some of them were making six-figure plus salaries. It is a danger for all ages.
All right. I think that's good. Timothy says, make sure that children do not have access to the internet unrestricted, especially when they go into another room. Also, you can make restrictions so they cannot get on past a certain time. So when they are alone in their room at night, they cannot have access to the internet. Right. I think that's true. Some parents act like they just simply can't regulate what their kids do in their own rooms. I would add that to your list of hogwash, Jacob.
Okay.
Ultimately, that room belongs to me, not to the child. It's my house, it's my room, and I'll decide what happens in there, and I can regulate it.
All right.
Here's a challenge from a listener in Indiana. Could you turn off your cell phone and PC for 5 days and be able to function, finding things to keep you busy? I would imagine it'd be very difficult for you to do this. We have become so dependent on electronics and everything we do, both work and leisure. It's true. I think that's probably a true observation, but if I am thus addicted, then maybe I need to immediately take steps to begin the process of regulating that in my life, in my family's life, in my children's lives.
All right. All right.
You know, that's one of the things that we can do to help our children is to teach them self-discipline, that when we have discover that maybe we are addicted to something like that, we can lead by example to say, I can fix this. I might have to get help to fix it, but I can fix this problem with spending too much time on the internet or any of this stuff with this technology. I can find a way to get around that to where I'm doing what I need to do. But we can lead by example in that.
Self-discipline, though, also is not learning how to take fire and put it in your bosom and try not to get burned. Sometimes self-discipline is we don't do that. We don't have that technology because it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's not we can use that technology and flirt around with it and hope that it doesn't bite us. No, we just don't have that technology.
You know,
it's kind of like we don't keep rattlesnakes in the house.
I was thinking the same exact thing, Monty. I was thinking the exact same. If there's some dangers, you just say we're not going to have it around.
Okay.
I got some more suggestions on what we can do. Joel has an email in which he suggests no electronics without lockouts. Maybe consider not letting your children on the internet at all. Would that be so horrible?
Yeah.
He says you can't take a vacation from being a parent. It's 24/7, 365, Jacob. It never ends. You've got to work consciously at instilling principles of modesty and principles of purity. I think that's right. In other words, it's not just what I keep them from.
Right.
It's what I try to instill in them as well.
That's true.
I think that's a good point to emphasize.
That's good.
And he goes on to say, you've been warned. There's no excuse. Failure's not an option.
Absolutely. Thank you, Joel. And Chris in the UK recommends, he says, technology should be rationed or even earned when homework or chores are done first. Histories are allowed to be monitored, and your Facebook page or Twitter feed should be open for inspection to guard against bullying and grooming. Don't know what grooming is, let alone bad language or indecent imagery. This may be use case specific, but age certifications are non-negotiable, and I would say Facebook and Twitter are certified 12. Put bars on devices that allow no adult content anyway, and make sure whilst they're a minor, you're present at all medical appointments. Also, I would say it needs to be shared, and at the end of it, maybe discuss what they saw or heard with the Bible, open, affirm, or challenge what was presented.
All right. Okay. In the chat room, guest 893 says we need to have a way of viewing what websites they look at that keeps us all honest. Timothy adds restrictions are to help honest people to stay honest. Yeah, if a person wants to get around restrictions, I think they can probably figure those out.
That's the danger with kids, their savviness.
Yeah.
Chris in Atlanta says, I'm not sure you can put a hard rule on what age can do what? Because kids mature at different rates, the parents must take control and set strict boundaries with technology. I have a zero tolerance policy with my kids. They disobey my rules once and they lose their phone or laptop privileges. They don't lose it for days, but at least a month or two. Some of my rules are never ever having a computer behind closed doors, no texting or Facebook, etc. after certain times at night. The time depends on day of week and if school is in or not.
Right.
You know, that's, we need to, one other danger is, back in the old days, you saw kids at school in a relatively controlled environment, and after school you went home and you dealt with your parents. You didn't hang out with your kids. Kids are hanging out with kids from school all hours of the day now.
At night. By way of their texting and connectivity devices.
And that is certainly a danger that we've got to be aware of.
Okay. Paul adds, we're out of time. Paul adds, one word of caution. Even as tech-savvy as many of us are, our kids quickly surpass us. They are quickly taught to get around restrictions and cover their tracks. I think that's the thing that parents got to be aware of. Your kids know kids who can tell them how to beat your restrictions.
Yeah, that's true.
And so the danger is real. Get your eyes open.
All right. Kids are going to have to be weird, Monty.
Our kids are going to have to be different.
It's not such a bad thing.
Well, the weird ones are the ones that are going to be pleasing to God.
Yes.
All right.
I think an important discussion.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, we appreciate the discussion tonight. And, Monty, thank you for being here, for your comments. Enjoyed them as usual.
Thank you.
And, Dad, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Jacob.
We hope you made you benefited from our...
Hey, next week.
What? Next week.
Next week, we have a David Pickup. He's of the Pickup family preachers.
Mid-size or full?
I think he's a full-size pickup.
Yeah,
Harry. He's one of Harry Pickup's sons.
Okay. All right.
And he's a family and marriage counselor in California, and he does a lot of work in what's called reparative therapy, trying to bring homosexuals out of homosexuality.
Right.
He's going to interview with us next week and tell us a little bit about that
process.
I look
forward to that. I'm glad you set that up. All right, we'll talk about that next week. I'll make plans. And if you're not on the update list, you'll want to be so you can catch that next week. Send your request to questions@collegeviews.com. Say, add me to the update list, and you'll be updated so you can keep track of that discussion next week. We hope you benefited from our study and discussion of God's Word. We hope you make plans to be back here this time next week for another edition of the Virtual Bible Study. In the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired Word of the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study, brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the Virtual Bible Study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.